Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning, June 4th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello. Good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up? Just a different day. They just roll on. They just string together. Life hasn't changed that much for me, even though things have opened up a little bit in Montgomery County.
They should. I think by Friday, I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't pay attention anymore to the phase stuff. But I think by Friday, they're supposed to be in another phase. And I think now they're suggesting our pool might be able to be open finally, which is good.
That'd be nice.
On a limited basis, I'm understanding. I mean, you know, whatever gets us to where we need to be.
I walk by our pool probably twice a day during walks. And I look at the pool. Our pool's not ready to be open, to be quite honest, because I look at it and it's a pretty big pool, but in the baby pool area, it looks like a mess. And then when I look at the part of the pool which has the lanes, it looks like that thing needs to be cleaned out. Now, you can clean
sure
a pool
they
probably
it. Yeah, they can do that in a couple days. Yeah, I'm sure they clean it out and get it all chlorinated. Although I've had to do the take all the water out of my hot tub and put it back in bit, and that's just a hot tub. That's not a pool. That is that's a big job, and to try to get all everything just right, the salt just right, and the chlorine just right, and the you know the hardness of the water, you know, and that's just a small body of water.
There's a science to it.
Oh yeah, there really is.
Yeah, but with so much going on in the news, I'm not sure. Like I'm supposed to be going to Outer Banks in 2 weeks, and the timeshare which we own has a pool. I don't know if that thing's open. I think I've heard rumors from Jess's mom that maybe it's open on some sort of limited basis, as you mentioned. But what does that mean? Does that mean like the first five people that walk in there can use it?
Hey, JP, when you're in the Outer Banks, say hi to all the Pogues and the Kooks.
I don't even know what that means.
That's the Outer Banks show.
The Outer Banks
show.
Come
on, JP.
Case is addicted to it.
I already watched the whole thing. I was swept up in the Netflix teen drama.
I don't think any of it was filmed in the Outer Banks.
Tell John B. I said hi.
Yeah, tell John B. Would you die for John B.?
I watched one episode, and it just did not hook me.
Yeah, I watched it. It's dumb, trashy TV. I'm in. Yeah. Raise my hand.
Yeah. So it says here, I'm just reading online here, that so Hogan will lift the order requiring the closure of non-essential businesses starting tomorrow. So
I think you can go get a haircut tomorrow.
That would include manufacturing, construction, large and small retail shops, vendors, wholesalers, legal offices, financial institutions, insurance agencies.
Right.
They can all, I guess, reopen up to a 50% capacity.
That's crazy.
The only way my life in particular would change is if the gym would open up. And then I had to make a decision because I just would be a little nervous about going to the gym because now you're indoors.
Yeah, I think gyms are going to have a harder time because, I mean, we've always known. That's why they've always had those wipes in there for years.
Well, maybe
the disinfectants or whatever, because that's just a place where people do transmit germs.
But if they're only allowing a certain amount of people in there and everyone's spread out, probably isn't that bad.
Yeah. Well, you're just touching everything. Now, the good news is with this one, they backtracked and said that most of the transmission, again, is not with just like touching a doorknob or something. But, you know, it could happen. You know, I know the last time I was at the gym, I had wipes in each hand when I was using the and, you know, you look like a weirdo. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, except nobody uses that gym. That's the gym at the building we used to work at.
Yeah, I mean, there are people. Yeah, not a lot of people, but there'd be a few people in there every, you know, when I'd work out.
I mean, we may be back by September. May.
Yeah.
that's still a little bit of a ways off.
Yeah. I know they're saying that. I'm going to bet we're back before that.
We could be.
I'm going to bet that that changes. Maybe, but here's like the August. Reason why the pool is a good, like for me, that employs two of my kids. Two of my kids are lifeguards. It gives them some, you know, gives them something to do, and it gives them some revenue. You know what I mean? Save up for, you know,
yeah, they
got to
get out of the house and work.
You always need a revenue stream, EB.
Yeah.
Always.
But yesterday, again, you know, my son and his friends, they did they call it cliff diving, or, you know, where all these kids go to certain parts of Great Falls and they jump off these cliffs into the water. And my understanding is you're not allowed to do it, but, you know, like 50 kids are there every day. It's just what the kids are doing.
Bunch of thrill seekers.
Yeah.
And those, it's just whippersnappers.
As a parent, it's stressful because it's pretty high up there. I've seen videos.
Sure.
And, you know, the water, depending on the day, it's super dicey out there.
Right.
And
what if the current just takes them and just...
Right. Now, supposedly...
They end up 10 miles away.
Supposedly...
Isn't that what the cutters used to do in Breaking Away?
I don't
Jason,
know.
Jason, do you remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
I only saw that movie once.
Of course.
I loved it, but I don't remember details like that. Yeah.
I think they were the cutters because they cut school, right?
Yeah. And Kelly, the outfielder from Bad News Bears was in it.
That's a great movie. It really is.
I mean, I remember liking it when I was like 9,
yeah.
But I don't, you know, don't remember it.
And
since.
The one guy, the American, just tried to talk Italian all the time because he idolized the Italian cyclists.
Yeah,
right.
By the way, I watched all of part one of Lance and half of part two. Very good.
I should have only watched half of part two last night, but I ended up staying up till midnight and watched the whole thing.
I made my kids watch the Len thing, so we watched. I made the family sit down and watch the bias thing. That was good. I was glad that they tolerated it / were fairly interested in it.
Yep.
So, because they always wanted to know why I had the bias jersey in the background.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a lot of memories.
Didn't sit there and watch the Carolina game because, you know, I had their attention for about 45 minutes. And that was about as good as I could
do. Yeah, there's some good stuff if you DVR'd it. There was some good stuff to watch last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Lance was really good.
I didn't realize that Van Pelt was a few years. I figured he was the same age as us, but he's actually a few years older than us. And
yeah, he's mid-50s.
He's like 53, I think. And then he, you know, I guess he was friends with all those guys. He said he wasn't good enough to be on the team, but he played, you know, a lot of pickup with Gatlin and Bias and all those guys. And so he had good relationships with them and, you know, was friendly with them in a big school.
Right.
So that, you know, so he had some interesting insight. For some reason, I thought he was the same age as us.
But, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So he's 53? Okay, makes sense.
I think so. 53, 54. I think he was born in 66.
Could you imagine how bad you would feel about your own hoops game if you played pickup with Len Bias?
Well, you know, we would play pickup every once in a while. Like Johnny Rhodes would jump in or something late at night. You know, but,
right.
You know, that would be rare, you know, or who was the Evers Burns would jump in and play.
Yeah.
But that would be very, very rare, you know.
I remember going down to Atlanta one summer to visit Rod Balanis, who's the assistant basketball coach in Notre Dame, but he lived with the Barry brothers, John Barry, Drew Barry, and all those guys down in Atlanta. And we would go down and play pickup at Georgia Tech with all the sillies, Travis Best and all those guys from, you know, from the mid-90s.
Right.
Man, there were some good games.
Well, that
Forrest, was that dude there? What was his first name?
James Forrest.
Yeah, yep. James Forrest. That dude is a monster.
Yeah, he played.
It was drive his Range Rover that he had in college.
Right, that Bobby paid for. But those were some awesome games, man.
Yeah.
Sit there for a couple hours and play and then go chill at his place. It was great.
Yeah.
Would Dennis Scott rain jumpers down on you?
No, Dennis Scott wasn't there.
Kenny Anderson?
No.
There's already.
It was guys from like the mid-90s. Yeah. I have to go back and look at the rosters.
Right.
I should mention that phone lines are open. It is open line Thursday if you want to chime in at 800-636-1067. That's the same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charge may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. Jason, you're very disciplined because with that Lance Armstrong special, I told myself, all right, I'm going to turn off the TV at 10:30. And then actually once the Floyd Landis part started coming in, mm-hmm. and Lance Armstrong still hates Floyd Landis,
yeah.
just absolutely crushes him, I was riveted, and I had to kind of see how it played out. I'd kind of forgotten how it all played out. I knew Landis ultimately tested positive when he won the tour, but I didn't remember all of the details, and I just found it hard to go away. So I kept telling myself, all right, I'll turn off at 11. And then once I got to 11, it's like, well, I might as well just see this thing through.
Right, you've already punted sleep at that point.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I think I turned it off right when they started that part of the story.
Yeah, it's – I mean –
I was just confused because Lance Armstrong's had 500 different wives.
Yes. I think he's married many times.
I told you, he was big into chicks.
He's
got four kids, but I think they're from at least two different wives, maybe three.
I think it might be three moms.
Three moms.
But he's been with the current one who they list as his fiance for like 12 years.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's one of those guys, though, that'll double down. Like, he's at the end of – I think it was towards the end of – the documentary, and it's, you know, a two-parter, so it's a four-hour documentary. He says, wouldn't change a thing. He would do it all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just comes across as, and I mean, obviously you guys saw he was such a D-bag when he was younger, 17, 18, just disrespectful, thought he was, you know, the best cyclist on every team, and he was, usually, but just the way he talked to people and talked to the older teammates, and you can still tell he's like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he just seems like such a pompous guy.
I can actually understand part of it. I can understand part of it where he says, he's like, you know what? If I didn't dope, I wouldn't have the life I have. Everyone else is doing it. And I can understand saying I don't have any regrets there. The part I think where people are upset is, like we mentioned a few days ago, is the then trashing of everyone that, you know, was telling the truth. And he went on a mission to kind of destroy their lives for exposing him.
Right.
That's the part that he should have some regret for. I could understand
and
not
it doesn't
having,
seem like he does.
Doesn't sound like it. Now, I haven't seen part two. So I have
now,
to watch part two.
He expresses a little remorse, but you don't
I don't
feel
know how
it
genuine. I don't know how genuine
it
is.
Well, when you say I have no regrets, I have no, I do it all over again.
Yeah.
Well, that includes that part then, if you're not at least making that caveat.
Yeah, but I don't know that he's smart enough to process it all because it's different interviews, different days to then go back and say, oh, but I did say I would handle it differently with like the masseuse who he called a whore.
Right.
And just completely trashed, said she was not credible, even though everything she said, like putting makeup on his needle marks,
was 100% true.
True.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he trashed the wives of some of his other competitors and teammates.
That Andreu or whatever, Andreu.
Yeah.
Betsy Andreu. Kind of hot, by the way.
Yeah, she was key. There was something about her.
I didn't realize he was tight with Eric Burns.
Yeah, I saw him hanging out. Yeah.
From MLB Network.
Yeah. I thought Landis made a good point. I don't know if you saw this part in the doc. And again, open lines if you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. And we're a few days behind. So the documentary wrapped up on Sunday on ESPN. But he made a good point. He said, the thing about cyclists is none of them have great personal skills, like social skills. They're all kind of weirdos because they're pretty much by themselves on a bike. So even if you're on a team, he's like, you don't really know how to communicate other than maybe the strategies of cycling, that these are people that love to be alone and just get on a bike for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
And so some of them come off like Lance Armstrong, who comes off as a total D-bag.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of the guys are like that.
And Landis is kind of a weirdo.
Yeah, I think most of them are.
Yeah.
Especially the American riders. That's what the one guy was saying, the team leader. He said, American cyclists, you know, the traditional sports of basketball, baseball, football are all team sports. And, you know, cyclists, that's way down the list on popularity. Right. And they're just weird guys because they're not around people and they never were good at the traditional sports. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
it's
really good. You know, I know Eric initially was hesitant about watching the Lance documentary because he didn't want to like him. I don't think anybody comes away from watching it like really liking him. You may sympathize with part of it,
right?
Because once he was deep in and he had lied so much and Livestrong was blowing up, it probably would have been really, really hard, and clearly it was, to then say, you know what, I've lied about it all, I've been doping all along.
Well, you also, you know, when we were in our mid-20s, maybe we weren't paying attention as much, but you realize how close he was to dying. I mean, when that cancer moved to his brain, I kind of forgot about that.
Yep.
I mean, so he had surgeries everywhere from the testicular cancer. Stage 4,
yeah,
no joke.
I didn't forget about that.
And it metastasized, and it gets to another part. Usually when it metastasizes, you're done. So he had a very small chance of living.
Yep.
And he beat it.
All right, let's take a
break. That part of the story was great.
Take a break. We'll come back with your calls. 800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show. We're the Junkies. Coming right back on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. It is Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show at 800-636-1067. Should mention coming up on the show today, Mike Jones, NFL columnist for USA Today, is going to join us at 7 o'clock. Sean Devaney from Heavy.com to talk some NBA at 7:20. It looks like the start date for the NBA season will be July 31st. And Doug Bell, who's a golf analyst for SiriusXM and CBS Sports HQ, he'll join us at 8:40. PGA Tour returns next weekend, so we'll get into that. But let's go to the phones.
Next Thursday.
800-636-1067. Danny is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Danny, you're on with the Junkies.
Lurch's birthplace.
That's right.
So, Lurch, I wanted to I'm sorry?
Never mind. You're just agreeing with you.
I was there for about a week, but yeah, you're right.
So I wanted to know what you missed more, the PGA Tour or the MLB?
Good question.
Great question.
Can I guess?
Sure.
I think it's MLB because you bet every day.
Yeah, I
the
concur.
The thing about
baseball is obviously it's every night, so there's something to watch every day, every night. PGA Tour, I just get into it so much because there's like this build up for me, and then you're waiting for Thursday, and then you get the first round, and the weekends are great, and I'm in golf pools. I don't know. It's probably pretty even, to be honest.
Well, Jason, let's phrase it like this. So if only one sport could come back for the year, baseball or golf, what would you choose?
I would personally choose golf. And I'm
talking.
The
I'm talking like no Masters, no U.S. Open.
I gotta have the majors.
Yeah, you gotta have the majors. If you're gonna tell me I get the majors, I'm gonna take golf.
You're gonna take four majors over one World Series.
Especially this year when they're gonna have about 50 games, and they're gonna be playing fanless and no one cares.
Yeah, I love the Nats. I watch them every single night, literally every night it's on. But I gotta have my four.
Yeah,
majors.
So there you go. I'd probably take golf. I probably miss golf the most.
Surprise! Yeah, golf winning the race.
What do you think of the majors? The Masters in fall.
Well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's better than not having it.
Right.
It's going to be different though because of the time change and the daylight savings and who knows if there's going to be fans. It's going to be very different.
I just want to see what the course is going to look like. That's my biggest thing because that's half of it is just the beauty of that course.
It'll be different.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
All right.
You know it's
going
to look great. You know it's not going to look trifling like bare spots. You know it's
Well, just the color will be different.
The colors and stuff. But they do overseed, and I know that they'll fly in some azaleas from Africa or something. They'll fly them in from somewhere, and they'll be in full bloom. Amen Corner's going to look silly. I just can't wait to see how they do it.
This may be heresy, but are the azaleas that important? I mean,
they just blow it up.
Made about azaleas, a big deal made about some.
Put it this way:
flowering bush.
Did you see, so when I played out at Renditions, right? And it really is a treat to play out there when you get to play like Amen Corner or whatever. I tweeted a picture of 12 green, and that's one of the most photographed holes ever. And it looks awesome. They got the bridge and everything, and it looks awesome. But they don't, you know, it's not the time for the azaleas. And when the azaleas aren't there, it doesn't
a little something.
It doesn't pop quite as much. So look at the picture I tweeted, and it's awesome. It's incredible. It's so beautiful. It's the closest I'll get to playing Augusta, I'm sure. But when the azaleas aren't there, it's not quite the same. Do you agree? Valdez, you saw my picture, right? Did you see the picture?
Yeah, I saw your picture.
Doesn't it look awesome?
The course looked in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it was great. The greens were great.
I saw your picture, but yeah, it's missing like...
that red pop.
Yes, the pop. The pop in the background.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a kind of like a regular par 3 hole almost.
Right. I'll be honest. The other holes at Rendition to me, even though they're all sort of iconic holes, I guess, they're not nearly as iconic, obviously, as at Augusta. So
Sawgrass
is, but like you know, this will be like number 6 at Medina or something, and don't you know?
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm wrong.
You don't remember those.
Yeah, but they're not as memorable.
Yeah,
but
well, those because the they don't play there every year, every single year.
Yeah, just don't know them as well. God, I love that music.
But I'll tell you what,
November,
June 11th can't get here quick enough
for the golf
for the Charles Schwab. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Is Mike in Indian Head still with us?
Mike. Hey, boys.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
How y'all doing?
Good morning.
All right. Hanging in there, man.
How are you?
Hey, PG County boy, man.
There you go.
Parkdale, class, Henry Hall era.
Henry Hall.
Henry Hall, man.
He gets a lot of run on this
Henry
show,
Hall's
too.
An absolute beast.
Henry Hall should have been in that PG County documentary.
Yeah, how come they mostly focused on guys that made it to the league,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true. But Hall was a beast.
Beast.
He was something else just to watch him, man. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I remember going to see Parkdale play. Where did Michael Tate go? Oxon Hill.
Yeah, I think so.
At Parkdale, and Henry Hall was averaging, I don't know, probably high 30s. Tate was pretty close, and it was just back and forth. It was the Hall versus Tate show. I think Oxon Hill ended up winning the game, and Hall had like 48, and Tate had like 43.
All in on PG County Public High School hoops,
oh,
Jason.
Yeah. Because that was right down the road from my house. I would always go down to those games.
Yeah, and Henry was a short guy. I mean, he wasn't a big guy at all.
No,
man,
no.
He could play.
Yep, he was excellent.
Hey, going back to the Breaking Away movie, the reason they called them the Cutters was because they lived in a stone quarry town.
Oh, there it is. Not that they were cutting school.
I think they probably did cut school, though, but yeah. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, just like I did.
That's a great movie. Dennis Quaid was in it?
Dennis Quaid was in it, yep.
Yep, I believe so.
He was one of the Cutters. Daniel Stern was in it, too. Remember Daniel Stern?
He was? From Home Alone?
From Home Alone, yeah. He was one of the Cutters.
I remember when they had, like, a team race.
the other guys, like Daniel Stern, they were terrible, but he had to like pass the bike to those guys. But then the main character took over and just would start laughing at everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go back and watch that movie if I can find it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a movie that's going to hold up. I don't know if I'm going to go back. I don't know if I'm pressing the rewind button on that.
I loved it. Apparently it's from 79. It's an old movie.
It is very old.
It's really good.
So what's up, bro?
Oh, I think he just wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, he
just wanted to clear up the Cutters reference. I love Breaking Away. Probably watched that 100 times.
Yeah, he revered the Italians, and then when he finally got to race them, remember they stuck like a stick in his spokes and made him crash.
That old trick, that old gag.
He hated him.
Bunch of dirty tricks.
Yeah, then he hated him, and then he wanted to beat him in the race.
And then I want to say the ending scene is he finally goes to college because his parents were disappointed in him, right? Because he was like the smart cutter, and he could have gone to college, and he chose not to. And then in the end, he goes to college, and then he's like impersonating like a Frenchman. He decides he's not going to be Italian. He was like French, or maybe it was Spanish.
No. He was impersonating the Italians.
I know that's throughout the movie, but at the end, he changes his persona, I swear. Okay. See now? You want to make a bet? Dollar bet?
Do you remember what his dad did for a living?
Definitely sold used cars.
Yeah, he did. Used car salesman.
Yeah. All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. As I mentioned, we got a bunch of guests coming on. Cakes keeps poo-pooing it, but the details have come out on the NBA's proposal. We'll talk to Sean Devaney about this at 7:20. They're going to have a play-in tournament for the ninth seed in a conference if you're within four games by the end of their regular season.
Right.
So they're going to play eight regular season games in Orlando for the seeding purposes for the playoffs. The Wizards, I believe, are 5.5 back right now, so they'd have to make up a game and a half on Orlando. And if they were able to do that, then they have some sort of play-in tournament, and then they could get in to get smashed by the Bucks ultimately.
Look, my stance has softened because at this point now I would take any sort of Wizards live content. So I'm okay with it. If they're part of the mix in the 22-team return, I will watch it and I will appreciate it. I won't poo-poo it because we've been missing fresh Wizards content for so long.
I thought you said last week that you didn't care. You didn't care to watch the Wizards anymore. I thought you said that.
No. I've pivoted.
Oh, okay.
It's called a pivot.
You're allowed to pivot.
All right. Yes, of course you are.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like 2 or 3 months ago, my stance was definitely, who cares? The Wizards are going to be cannon fodder for the Bucks, and they'd be lucky to win one game against them.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to accept it for what it is. I'm going to take the gift that is Wizards basketball.
But again, like we said many times,
appreciate it.
This year is going to be different because you're not going to know what to expect. The players are going to be rusty. Some will be out of shape. There's going to be no fans, so there's no clear home court advantage. Although the players, I saw, they want some sort of a home court advantage if they're a higher seed. They want. Did you see the things that they want? They want the ball at the start of the second, third, and fourth quarter.
So weird.
Yeah, they want all kinds of stuff.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
They want an advantage.
They wanted some sort of advantage.
They're losing
not
the advantage.
Right.
They played the whole season to gain this advantage in terms of home court, and they want some sort of advantage, and you're not going to get it if all the games are on a neutral site. So they're throwing out these things like getting the ball to start quarters.
I don't hate them lobbying for that. I mean, it probably won't happen, but I don't mind those teams that actually did well during the regular season trying to gain an advantage from it.
What are we going to do if by the time they have...
I mean, they want to completely change the game.
I know. What are we going to do if by the time the playoffs start, the rest of the country is kind of back up and running? And then they're all going to be stuck in these neutral sites?
Yep. Now, maybe they start allowing some fans, but yeah, they'll still be. I don't think they can.
Can they pivot halfway through and go, okay, you know what? Actually, all these states are open now. We can go back and play our home games, like in the second round?
I would doubt it just logistically, but it's a good question.
It's tough. I got a buddy that runs a lacrosse event, and he had to tell parents that he's only going to be able to do drills, no scrimmages, And we were discussing, you know, a month from now, though, when the event comes around, he might be able to. But you just don't know, you know?
So listen to this. So this is what the players want, all right? We already talked about the higher seeds getting the ball at the beginning of the second, third, and fourth quarter. They also want the higher seed to be allowed to choose one player to have seven fouls instead of six, all right? So they get... This is ridiculous. They want higher seeds being granted extra coaches
so
challenge.
Only the home team gets the extra foul.
They also want to be able to pick their hotels. The higher seed gets to be able to pick their hotel, so the lower seed will get the nubbier of the hotels.
I like that
angle. And then the higher seed, they also want to bring in their own hard courts. They want to bring their own courts in.
Really?
Yeah. Their own floor.
Are players that nitpicky about the floor that they're on? They're not all about the same?
No, they're probably different. Yeah. So, that I mean, I'm not sure these will get passed, but that's what they're proposing. I can't imagine most of those are going to happen.
Yeah, it's just going to be weird, man. Everyone just has to just grin and bear it, accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
And then I'm lobbying that hopefully they can pivot as things open up. Maybe you only have to do this for a round or two.
But at least it gives the Wizards a little bit of a sweat.
They do have a sweat.
The mildest sweat ever.
And
it's very mild. Yeah, you're right.
So how many games are there going to be before the playoffs?
Eight.
Eight games.
So what if they lose the first two? Do they get to forfeit and not play the others, or they have to go?
If they're eliminated after two, that's a good question.
Yeah, what if they're eliminated right away?
They probably have to play them all.
They probably have to play
because
they've got to play the other teams because the other teams are still going to have a shot.
They could maybe change their strategy. You know, and all of a sudden they just say, "Okay, we're not going to play."
To play Troy
Beal
Brown
anymore.
The whole time, yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna bring Garrison Matthews back and play him 40 minutes.
Well, I get ice for him.
If they're eliminated, Bradley Beal won't play 1 minute. He won't play one stupid minute at any of those games.
Right, probably shouldn't.
All right, it is Open Line Thursday, presented by Window Nation. Search for new windows and doors. Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. Let's go to Jonathan in Mineral. Jonathan, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, Junks, how's it going?
Hey, what's up,
buddy?
Hey, I had a question for EB, and I think Jason kind of agreed with him. Yesterday, you had said that any title won would be considered tainted, right, EB?
A little bit, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing I wanted to mention was that the Skins first.
I know
Super Bowl
in
'82
was a shortened season. Mm-hmm. '87 was a short season. Yeah, you know what? Had scabs. I know. You're right, and I don't think of it that way.
You don't consider it tainted, right?
In the back of my mind, a little bit, but I don't. At the end of the day, I don't. You're right,
okay.
I tried to bring that up yesterday, but I wasn't able to.
Okay, all right. Yeah. But I mean, I could tell you one thing: if the Caps win the Stanley Cup, I'll be just as happy as I was in '18.
Yeah, so maybe for my team I won't be. For others, I kind of will thumb my nose at them. That's just maybe sort of a Hippocratic thing or whatever. Maybe I would just, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hypocritical.
Hypocritical thing. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, like the Rockets. Like, this is just kind of what people say. The Rockets won two championships with Hakeem Olajuwon, but those were the years that Jordan was sidelined.
Asterisk.
So people always say, it doesn't really count. But for those Rocket players and those Rocket fans, those are legit championships.
But he brings up a good point, and I wanted to mention this yesterday, but we had moved on because I was researching because I just wanted to remind myself. You know, in that 82 year, I believe they played 10 games. They were in like 9-1 or 8-2 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they didn't go 16. Wasn't even close. And then, obviously, if we all remember, you know, the replacement year, the scabs, the so-called scabs, that was only three games. But, you know, in 82, and I take a lot of pride in 82. But 82, they only I think they went like 9-1 or something like that.
I feel like everybody's playing with the same rules, though. So, to me, it's legitimate. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's a shortened season, every team has the opportunity to win the championship. So, in hockey, if the Capitals can get through 24 teams and win the Stanley Cup, to me, it's as legitimate as their Stanley Cup from a couple of years ago because everybody in the league is playing under the same rules.
True, but it's kind of like Phil Mickelson described this in Tiger's heyday. And it's not the exact same thing, but it's kind of similar. Then in the first round, anybody can beat Tiger Woods. You know, in the second round, you might be able to. But over four rounds, Tiger Woods is going to put himself in position where he beats everybody
because
he's better, and he's going to, over time, he's going to beat you time after time after time. Now, anybody could beat him any one time or in a short series.
Right.
Right.
Well, if the rules changed dramatically and all of a sudden they made the NBA the NCAA tournament and it was one play, one game, and you lose one and you're out, right, then it would be dramatically different. But they're still talking about best of seven series. So to me, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Same thing with hockey. Like, they may have best of five in the first round.
First two rounds, I think, is being proposed.
And so that's a little bit different, but it's you're playing enough games where I don't think you're going to have some wacky team all of a sudden get through. Like the 24th ranked team.
Well,
maybe not the 24th.
Certainly in basketball, that rarely happens.
Yeah.
But remember, this is going to be totally different because teams don't have to travel after a couple games and go to another city. There's no clear home court or home ice advantage. They're staying in the same cities. There won't be any fans to add energy. It's going to be different. So I can see some of those lower seeds advancing because of that.
Yep. All right, phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime. It is Open Line Thursday here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can also watch us on TV on NBC Sports Washington. Your chance to steer the show, Open Line Thursday. Got to get in this segment because we got Mike Jones coming up at 7 o'clock from USA Today to talk some football. He has an opinion on what went down yesterday with Drew Brees, Malcolm Jenkins, and Saints players. So we'll hear from Mike Jones on that at 7 o'clock. At 7:20, Sean Devaney is going to join us as we'll talk about the NBA. I saw his latest tweet. He says it's not a done deal. It seems like they've moved towards it, but we will get the latest from Sean at 7:20.
I think they've got a vote today at 12:30.
There you go.
So we should know by about 1 o'clock or 1:30 if they approve everything.
Let's go out to Robbie, who's in Winchester on line one. Robbie, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning, long time listener. How you doing today?
What's
hey, Robbie.
Up,
hey, Robbie. Robbie.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment about the Redskins this year.
Yeah.
I've chimed in back of like a month. I think the Redskins can win like 7 or 8 games.
All right.
If they can run the ball and keep the other teams off the field and don't enforce three and outs, I actually think the Redskins can improve to like at least 7 or 8 games this year.
I mean, I don't think it's preposterous. I think your method, though, is kind of old school. It's kind of like what Callahan tried to do.
It definitely is.
You know, yeah, I don't think it's just an old school pound the football. kind of game anymore. And
although
I certainly
it worked for the
think
Titans, it did work for the Titans last year. Now, sure, Daniel played well, but they had Derrick Henry.
But
it works for the Cowboys with that running back they have. I mean, you know, when you have a good and you can run the ball like that, it creates more things to happen on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, you also have to look at Dak's passing numbers.
I think he was second in the league. Was he second in the league in passing yardage?
He was up there. I don't know, but he was right around 5,000 yards.
Listen, I think if you have a unique situation, you have a dominant offensive line, you have a dominant back, you know, like at times like the Cowboys have had, and you know, maybe the Titans had that sort of scenario last year, you could pull that off. But the Redskins don't have the personnel. Just look at how they were drafting. I mean, they're trying to draft, like, guys that can play multiple positions, that have speed, that you could flex them out. So they're not just going to go old school and pound it 40 times.
You want to create mismatches all over the field. And I think that's something that Turner is going to try to accomplish.
2019, Dak Prescott threw for 4,902 yards, so just shy of 5,000. 30 touchdowns, 11 picks, quarterback rating 99.7.
Yeah, it's just a different
They did run the football, but they also let Dak sling it a little bit, and he was very successful.
They're
also
do that
aired
this
it out.
Year too.
Yeah, and they add CeeDee Lamb to that mix.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think you can do it. Like I said, if the Titans did it last year, and especially if you look at their playoff run. Remember, Tannehill was barely throwing the ball in the playoffs. Wasn't he running around like 10 attempts in one of those games?
Yeah, maybe 8. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody thinks long-term that's sort of a sustainable way to go.
Correct.
Unless you have just a particularly dominant back and offensive line. You know, I know, back in the day, the Redskins, the offensive lineman would brag. You know, Bostic would brag. He would tell the guys, hey, we're running right up the gut. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, they would tell the other guys.
I mean, it might be able to get you close. It got San Francisco close, right? Defensively, they were really good, and they just tried to establish the run game and just burn clock. But eventually, it's going to come back to haunt you because you're going to have to pass the ball in key moments. They just couldn't do it.
It worked against the Packers. It worked to perfection against them.
Worked against them, but it couldn't beat Mahomes.
Right.
Yeah. Line two's gone? All right, okay.
Yeah, as things are opening up, businesses obviously are changing. I'll tell you this, in my neighborhood, there are several businesses which are just not opening up again. We went for a walk yesterday, and two or three of the businesses, one was a boutique, another one was kind of an art gallery frame type place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they have
shuttered
for lease. It's not just shuttered, not like they were temporary shuttered. They've moved on. And they're gone.
What kind of spots were they?
One was a boutique, sold clothes.
I'm always astounded when I see those that they ever even opened in the first place.
A mutual friend whose wife owns one of those like used clothes
consignment
places.
Place. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
kills it.
Yeah, they
really
do.
Kills it.
Consignment
love
shops
that.
Do kill it. Yep.
Yeah, but I've seen boutiques like in Olney over the years, and I walk by them, I'm like. How are you staying in business? It doesn't make any sense.
You'd wonder
my
how
default
many...
always is, I don't want some dead guy's sweater. I'll just get my own. Right. New fresh one.
I'll die in my own sweater.
Some people love it. My kids love consignment shops.
This one wasn't a consignment spot. It was a straight up boutique, which had been open for probably a couple of years.
Boutique, though, that's very all encompassing. What do you mean by boutique?
They sell clothes.
Like, it's usually, like, women's clothing, like,
correct.
Women's accessories, stuff like that, purses.
To be honest,
stuff along
lines. I had never walked in the store because it wasn't stuff that was for me.
Why are you going to walk into Paula's boutique?
Right.
You're not.
If you wanted a dress or a blouse, maybe you'd be interested, right? So that's closing. The other one, I said it was an art frame place. It was kind of a place. It wasn't Color Me Mine. You guys are familiar with Color Me Mine?
No.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
What is
it's
it?
It's like people go in there, they make their own pots, they color
themselves.
Yeah, I've
seen that stuff.
It was
so boring.
To me, I just lumped that store as a combination of a Color Me Mine / like frame place. I might even be conflating them. Might even be three spots. But bottom line is, a lot of places are closing. Drab just sent us a story about one business which is trying to change, which is a butcher who had to close down because of the coronavirus. So now things are opening up, but he came up with an idea, which I don't know if it's going to be a hit for him.
He's going to do a vending machine where they sell meat.
Well, I hope it works for him, but I don't think butcher shops are going to go away. I don't think they're going to go away. That might work. That might be a sort of a one-off or an easy way for
people.
Just
a bit of brainstorm for him.
Yeah, yeah, and that might work for him, but I don't think that's going to replace going to the butcher and getting a fresh cut of meat.
Yeah.
I just don't think
there's
it is.
There's just no way. I mean,
pork chops out of a vending machine, they could be selling. You don't know.
I give credit to people.
You let me know. You let me know how good they are.
They say he's going to have a refrigerated vending machine in the front, 9 levels of revolving shelves with things like freshly cut, uncooked steaks, burgers, sausages, pork chops, chicken, bacon,
hamburger.
And he might even throw in some prepared foods like macaroni salad, potato salad, mac and cheese, baked beans, and soup.
Hey, anything to make a buck. Sounds silly, but I don't think it's going to take away the experience of going to a deli or going to a butcher shop or whatever it is.
What's the difference between going to a Giant and grabbing, you know, a slice of steak that they cut in the back as opposed to going to a butcher? And
they're trying to eliminate the contact.
I know, but I'm just saying grocery stores have the same exact thing.
There's a difference because you're not used to it. That's the difference. The difference is you've never seen it before.
Well, yeah, true, but also it's not as, you know, people go specifically because they want to tell them how they like their meat sliced, how they want their cheeses sliced.
Right, right. Trust me, I understand the value of a butcher, but I'm just saying that both in a...
You're talking about the prepackaged stuff when you just go to the meat section.
All the prepackaged stuff is cut in the back anyways.
Have any of you guys ever gone to the butcher and say, I want my New York strip cut this way? I've never done that.
I do it with my cheeses. Okay, my meats. How do I want a thinly sliced? That kind of
deli
stuff.
Counter. I think it's more. Yeah. That's more prevalent. But like, I'm not going and telling him how thick I want my hamburgers. I just take the hamburgers that are already made.
Maybe for burgers, yes. But there's a butcher shop in Ashburn that I love, and I go in there and I watch them cut the chicken and they butterfly it, and same things with the steaks and the way they marinate it. Oh my God, it's so good. There's a clear difference. Clear difference. I'd much rather get the chicken from that shop than the Harris Teeter. The Harris Teeter chicken is poo.
Go You're easy. Right. We like Harris
You're right.
Teeter.
You're right.
I'm telling you, if I could give you the chicken that I get from the shop and let you taste it, compare it to what you get at, you know, whatever drug or grocery store you go to, it's night and day.
Chicken.
It really is. It is. There's a difference.
I'm sure it is. I don't know. The chicken I get from the HD usually pretty good.
You and Amy come over, and I'll grill it out, and I'll have 2 separate sides of chicken. And I'll have the Harris Teeter brand, and I'll have or Giant
a chicken
whatever.
Taste test.
Then I'll have the Whining Butcher. Yes,
size.
You would love the chicken I get from the butcher shop,
Jason. I'm actually pretty ricked this morning because Wegmans just pulled out of our neighborhood.
They're done forever.
No, they're just I don't know. They said that there's one in Leesburg, so they don't need it.
Yeah, there is one there. Yeah. There's one in Leesburg, and then there's one in
Ashburn. That's distressing news for you, Drabby.
Well, it just pummels Harris Teeter.
Yeah.
Huh. Harris Teeter's fine.
So hold on. What do you mean they pulled out? They were building. They were going
to
build a
Wegmans? They signed the lease. They like agreed to build one in South Loudoun County.
Gotcha.
I'm a Giant guy. I get sliced for Giants.
Valdez is the one.
Drab Jones on me.
Look,
I
grew up on that meat. That's what I grew up on. So I was always used to it until I was exposed to the good stuff. And the Capital Meats, that stuff's awesome.
Here we go.
I just wish you guys would taste it.
I'd love to. Send some over here.
Tell Frank to send a package.
Yeah.
Butt size.
Valdez knows Frank. He can text him right now.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little NFL. NFL columnist for USA Today, Mike Jones, joins us here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.